Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hey, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 30th, 2011, episode 174, sponsored today by Amazon. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, everybody. I've got to tell you, Glenn, I'm about half checked out because I'm in vacation mode, my friend. I am heading out of here as soon as the show is over. I got to feed the horses and then rush to the airport so I can take off to much cooler temperatures. Much cooler, actually.
Yeah, it's probably going to be much, much cooler. So what was it yesterday? What was the verdict?
It got up to a wonderfully beautiful, balmy 100 and freaking 15 degrees. Yes, lovely. It's gorgeous.
Well, you know, you had somebody on Facebook feeling your pain. Did you see that?
Yeah, she lives up in Vegas, and so I looked at her page. I was like, oh, maybe she lives around here and we can commiserate. Nope, she lives in Vegas, which at least they have giant rooms of air conditioning in Vegas that you can go to. But so, yeah, she was feeling the pain. I think she said it was 113. It's just a bit of a heat wave here because this is not supposed to be like this until July and August. Unfortunately, we went from 90 to 110. We just skipped the whole 95, 100, 105 and just climbed right on up to 115. So it's been a little frustrating because having a farm, you have much outdoor work to do. And I'm leaving town, which means I've got to get everything as easy and ready for the farm sitter as possible. So yesterday I was outside underneath the tin roof of my barn, climbing up on hot metal chunks and hanging these shades that go, because the way that barns are in Arizona, you cannot have an enclosed barn. The horses will just be miserable. And I've gotten a little bit of a snob where I don't want my horses in the sun during the day because Jet has his first competition in like 3 weeks. So I don't want him in the sun. I don't want him all sun bleached. So I put up these shades. So you shade like when the sun sets in the west, you cover that side of the barn with a shade that lets the air through, but doesn't necessarily let the sunbeams through. So he stays up, my warm blood stays up, and then the little pony that's boarded with us stays up because he's a POA, but he's got the appy color, and I worry about, you know, skin cancer and that kind of stuff. So those three horses are stuck in the stalls all day long. So I hung the misters, which go across the top of the barn, and gently put mist down on them. There's a shade now to block the western, you know, late day sun. And I'm doing all this while it's 115 degrees outside by myself. I'm like,
five foot two of you.
Yeah, and they're mad that they're in the stalls, and I'm like, listen, don't you look at me like that. I will come over there, and I will let you don't get sunburned, okay? It's like I'm talking to them like I'm crazy.
Well, we're all a little crazy. Yeah. Horse people are all a little crazy, Jamie. It just throws you into the pile.
Oh, you know, it's true. And I told Chad, I said, you know, there's a large contingency of crazy horsewomen. So just if I start to tip over the edge, you have got to reel me back in. But I think with him out of town, I'm full on crazy. I am just marching my way down that hallway daily.
All right, let's find out from Jennifer what's on today's show, and then we just have a lot of news and stuff today. So let's got a video and all kinds of stuff. So Jennifer, what's up?
You're so Glenn. On today, Amazon.com Thursday edition.
The ADD kicked in right in the middle of that sentence.
It pretty much every sentence it kicks in, doesn't it?
It's hard to be me.
Shut up, Glenn. Let me get through this.
Okay.
There you go. You may remember a few weeks back we had a little news story about Churchill Downs having their very first Arabian races ever in their 150 whatever years of existence. Well, that got us thinking that we need to learn more. So we have Deborah Mihaloff. I'm sorry, Deborah, that I've butchered your name. From Cree Run Farm in Virginia to tell us all about Arabian racing at Churchill and other places. It's going to be a fascinating chat. And also, you're going to want to keep your Facebook open today because between the question of the day, the video of the day, and the many, many piled up news stories, commentary will be flying fast and furious today.
And we would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. We have lots of time. It's just Jamie and I today and one guest. So we're not – this week just seems like we've had like a dozen guests already. So it's 347-637-3238. Call us about whatever. I don't care. We don't care. Just call us and talk horses. That's what we do here. So give us a call, 347-637-3238. Well, I think it's time for this. Well, my first daily winnie goes out to Roger and Katie. Do you remember Roger? You remember Roger and Katie, but some of our listeners might not. They are the official young romantic couple of the Horses in the Morning show. They've been on the show a couple of times. They started dating, and we've been sort of following their progress, and now we hear they might be shopping for rings and all that stuff. By the way, Jennifer, we need to get them on soon because we need an update. We need an update. We need to know what is going on in the life of Roger and Katie. Katie's an inventor, and Roger's a potential horse husband.
Exactly. And if you remember, Roger is the one who wrote an article that got published about – he just wrote this kind of like blog, and it got published. It's How to Date an Inventor as a Guy, you know. And just the way that he writes and the way that he explains – how ridiculous horsewomen are. I mean, I remember one of the things he wrote was like, just so you know, you must have a dog. If you're going to date an inventor, you must have a dog.
Four, five, or six.
thing after thing and going to competitions, and it was really great. So I did get – this is Katie Murphy from Murphy Eventing, and I did get a message from her not too long ago that they were ring shopping, but I did not give the update. And as Glenn asked me when I told him that, did they buy one? Glenn, no guy buys a ring in a store when the woman is there. Am I correct here? I mean, question. Totally.
Well, I would be careful with that no guy does that thing because that's – be a little careful with that one.
I wanted to know, did you buy your ring with Jennifer present, and how did you propose?
I know – did you help pick it out, Jennifer? I don't even remember. Because I got it, actually, it's an antique one. So I got it as an antique. And I actually proposed. I had a whole fake trip all set up with my company I work for, and we went. Jennifer didn't know a thing about it. We went to Williamsburg. She thought it was a company-sponsored trip, and then I proposed when we were at Williamsburg. So it was this whole big shindig. And,
he even had his boss in on it.
I even had my boss in on it. She thought we had won a trip, and I had set it all up, got a nice hotel and everything. But it was, did you pick out the ring or did I? I don't remember.
You picked it out.
Okay, but you told me what you wanted. She pretty much told me she wanted an antique ring.
Yeah, I think you might have gotten some input from Parker or my mom maybe. We
I
went
think
together
your mom
and picked out the wedding band. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we did do that. Mm-hmm. Yep. For sure. Well, anyway, this is all leading to, by the way, Jennifer, see if you have Katie's number. Try and get her on the phone. Just call her. We'll see if she's around this morning. See if you can have her cell number and try and give her a call here right now. But it's Roger's birthday. So happy birthday, Roger. That's why I did the Daily Winnie, because it's Roger's birthday. So happy
long
birthday,
story
Roger.
Short, it's his birthday. That was the whole point of this conversation.
That's the whole 10 minutes was about Roger's birthday. Do you have one?
I do. Okay, so there's nothing that I like more than going to the big screen and watching a horse movie. I mean, total Hollywood version of a horse movie. You know, with Seabiscuit, Secretariat being Disney, the new movie Buck is coming out. And so everybody's going to go see Buck this weekend, hopefully. But I want to let everybody know that we have another horse movie in December. It's coming out in December, I think December 26th. So it's going to be like one of those big Christmas movies. And so my Daily Winnie goes out to Steven Spielberg because, oh my gosh, the trailer for this movie came out. And the trailer, of course, is the preview. And oh my gosh, if this does not give you goosebumps and make you tear up a little bit, I don't know what will. Of course, War Horse is the movie we're talking about, and that comes out. And the thing is, it's based off a children's book. It's based off a children's book, and there's a kid that has a horse, and it is sold into the war. I know we've talked about it before, but I'm just catching everybody up. The horse was sold into the war. And he spends, you know, he goes across the country trying to find his horse. And, I mean, as you can imagine, tears will, you know, definitely a mascara alert for this movie. And even almost the preview. So when Jennifer, you get a free second, if you don't mind posting that link to the preview on our Facebook page, we would play it. However, there's no dialogue in it. It's just music.
It's just
but
music,
it is, it's powerful music. I almost say play it because it is so good. I mean, in the scenes and the cinematography and the war scenes and the horse galloping. I mean, so much of this preview is this horse galloping riderless. And so it is just give you goosebumps, chills up and down your spine, you know, curl your toes kind of preview. So everybody definitely check it out on our Facebook page.
You know, when I was watching that preview, it made me think of Reckless. Remember the Marine horse from Korea?
Oh.
And when they showed the scenes of the horse running through the trenches by himself carrying stuff, that's what, you know, you can imagine that's what Reckless went through.
Real,
you know, not just a movie or a fictional story, but actually happened. So it did give me goosebumps, too, because I thought back to Reckless when I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that,
and we should
also
try to find
movie.
We need to talk to somebody about Reckless, too. I mean, there's got to be somebody over there who'd love to talk about her, because she was a phenomenal horse. And if you don't know who we're talking about, search back on some posts, and you'll see a video of Reckless, the war horse, like the most decorated war horse of all time.
And that would be on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Well, we got to go over a couple things here.
Okay.
And then... first thing is, tomorrow, you're not going to be here, but we still have a show. I have a co-host by the name of Randy Thompson, who has been on our show before, been actually a number of Horse Radio Network shows before. She's an author and a trainer and a rider and a regular on the shows. She contributes to Horse Tip Daily and been on Stable Scoop. Fascinating woman from North Carolina and a listener of ours. Listens and contributes almost every day on our Facebook page. So she's very excited to be filling in for Jamie tomorrow. She said to me in the last email, she said, "Does that mean I get to read the next chapter of Black Beauty?" And I said, "Oh no, Jamie's going to let you do that. I don't know about that." But we will not be doing really bad ads Friday. Well, that is sort of a Jamie thing. We kind of, you know, I can't see doing that without her. So we just decided when she's not here on a Friday, we're going to skip it and go to the next week. But a lot of you I know have submitted ads. Keep submitting them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. And we'll put them in for next week's show. That's no problem at all. And then on Monday, as far as the schedule is concerned, it's July the 4th. And we are going to be having a best of show that day. So there will be a show. It'll just be one from the past. So we'll be doing that on Monday. And we get our doggy on Saturday. So that'll give me an extra day to play with the dog.
That's so cool. Oh, my gosh. You're getting your dog.
I'm very excited about my next announcement. The next announcement is tomorrow we have a very special guest, Cindy Neal, who is the producer, owns the production company, started the production company, Cedar Creek Productions, that made the Buck film. So Pamela Miles helped set that up. She's an assistant over there, and she listened to our show the other day and heard our review and dropped us a note. So Cindy's going to be on the show tomorrow, and we can talk all about the making of Buck. I'm so excited about that. That's going to be cool. I'm sorry
you won't
be here.
I'm a little jealous.
You're going off to play with your boy up there in Washington. So
I know. It's good. Now, I wanted to tell you, too, that I'm kind of disappointed you guys aren't doing really bad ads, because me not being here, I was kind of excited to hear you read things with no punctuation and no
really
capitalization really, really fast. But
why
I'm
do
kind
you think
of
I put it off?
I appreciate your honesty, my friend.
You're so good, Jamie. You're the one. You're it.
Mm-hmm.
You're
I love
the
that you
one
say
husband.
That. That you say that because you know I make an idiot out of myself. So it's like,
yeah, and it's
we'll just
funny.
Let Jamie be the idiot.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so funny when you're the idiot. Everybody likes it when you're the idiot. It's just funny. So, all right. Well, let's get to the question of the day. I have a question of the day, and this relates to a news story that came out a couple days ago. And it's not a pleasant story, by the way. This is not a wonderful news story, and I'm trying to find it because I seem to have lost it now. Okay, so this is in England, of course. Four horses have died after a freak attack by a swarm of bees. The animals were grazing in fields when they were set upon by a swarm of bees. By the way, this is just not something you hear about a lot. Two of the horses in the paddock, by the way, the town is Nutley. How'd you like to, you know, say all the time that you live in Nutley? I don't know, maybe it means something
different. Can you
spell that? N-U-T-L-E-Y, Nutley.
And it's near
Uckfield. It's near Uckfield. All right, so we're picking on English enough here today. They suffered heart attacks brought on by the venom in the stings. So two of the horses were found dead in a pond, and it's believed that they were drowned while trying to escape the bees. They went into the pond.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, apparently there are 9 beehives near the fields, but said they'd never stung the horses before and, you know, weren't really a problem. You know, there's beehives everywhere. The bees serve an important purpose. And usually you don't hear about them swarming and killing horses in a field. So my question of the day, Jennifer, put that up there, is what is the most unusual thing you've been attacked by while riding? Have you ever had you've had some weird ones. I know.
You know what? I have a bee story, and it goes from a bad bee story to a worse bee story when you find out the ending. So I'll give you the kind of quick version. Is when I was at a farm in Atlanta. This is in a former life with a former significant other. I was out feeding the horses, but our barn was being built. And so obviously kind of a serious type relationship. I was living in a farm and I had a barn being built, so all my horses were in the field. Well, I would have to tie the horses to the fence post to feed them their grain, because that's all I had to do, and that was the way I could keep them from fighting. And I had four horses out there, the one on the far left, and then they kind of like spaced all the way down the fence line. So I look out and I see my horse Maximus at the time start stomping and panicking while he's eating his grain. And I'm standing in the patio of the house, and I look down, and then I see the next horse stomping and swishing his tail and bucking. Then I see the next horse start doing it, and the next horse. So I run out there. I'm like, what is going on? I thought they were trying to get to each other. I couldn't tell what they were doing. So I reach up, and I go to grab Maximus and unclip him from the fence. And then I realize, I look at my hand, and my hand is covered in yellow jackets. In yellow jackets. And then I look at Maximus, and he's a black horse, and he looks yellow. I mean, he is covered. So but what are you going to do, you know? So I unsnap him while being swarmed with bees. I run to the next horse. I get him unclipped, and I'm unclipping horses down the line while I'm being swarmed with bees. And, I mean, the four of us and then the four horses and me, we take off running. I don't think I've ever run that fast in my life, you know, doing that, like, arm flailing, get him off me, run through the pasture.
See the videos.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm running so fast, and I'm realizing while I'm running, I'm like, wow, I've never run this fast, ever. And I was jumping, and so finally it kind of calms down, and I realize that only one of my horses has been stung a lot. So I go in the house and I get him some Dex because the significant other at the time was a veterinarian. And so I call him and I didn't get him, but I got his office and they told me what to do. So I give the horse some Dex and he looks fine. But then I realize I'm starting to swell. And I have now been swarmed by, I probably got stung 30 or 40 times.
Oh.
It was awful. Well, so I'm calling my boyfriend. I'm calling him, calling, because I need to get to the hospital because I'm starting to panic because I'm allergic to everything anyway. So he's not answering. So what do? I drive myself to the hospital, swelling the entire time. And my arm that has been stung from unclipping is so swollen, and I had a stick shift for a Dodge 2500. So a huge stick shift. I can't even grip this stick shift, Glenn, because I'm like jamming it into gear when I push the clutch down because I can't even hold on. My hand looks like I'm, 600 pounds. It's that big. So I get all the way to the hospital. They go in, they give me a shot. I mean, they do all this kind of stuff. Meanwhile, still calling the boyfriend, can't get a hold of him, can't find him anywhere. Get home, go to bed. The guy still hasn't come home, and I'm like, wow, he must have had a surgery. He must have had something going on. I mean, something must have been terrible. So here I am. I'm pathetically have driven myself to the hospital after medicating my own horses, after being attacked by a swarm of bees. I'm laying in bed, and the next day, I wake up and I see him, and I'm like, where were you last night? Well, come to find out that while I'm being swarmed by bees, attacked, driving my pathetic self to the hospital, he was with another woman. Oh, my God. I'm like, insult to injury. Here we go. I mean, this is really personal, like, drama. But I just thought, I'm like, life cannot get any worse right now. It just cannot.
I guess that was the
worse.
End of that, huh?
Let me just go ahead and tell you that I found out about it 2 weeks later. And 2 weeks and a day later, my horses and I were removed from the bee stinging farm. But I'm like, oh my God, this is the most pathetic thing I have ever heard of. Poor girl, so look at it from the outside. Poor girl drives herself to the hospital after being attacked while her boyfriend is off with another woman. I can laugh
you
about
must
it
have,
now.
You must have itched because bee stings are itchy. You must have, it's like itchy all over the next day.
Oh my gosh. I cannot tell you how horrible it is to be sitting there, look at yourself in the mirror in a hospital bed and see how swollen and ridiculous you look and not feel pathetically sorry for yourself. I'm like, this is the worst ever. I mean, it was horrible. So the whole thing, yeah, swollen, a mess. They give me all this medication and Benadryl and all this stuff. It didn't help. I mean, I was swollen and itchy. But then it's like the kind of itch where you scratch it, it hurts. So good times. Now, by the way, I am incredibly allergic to bee stings after that experience, and now I have an EpiPen with me at all times.
I bet. Holy cow. I can't say that we've ever had one like that. That's kind of dramatic. Robin on the Facebook typed in and said, a coyote, it was waiting for my horse to dump me as an offering and run home. I guess that didn't happen because she's here riding. So I guess she didn't get dumped as an offering and the horse run home. But so Robin, thank you for posting that. Appreciate that. We would love to hear your stories on that. Couple of other things. First of all, let me see, what did I miss? Video of the day. Jennifer, when you get a chance, post our video of the day. This was this group, and I've seen them before, it's called Improv Everywhere. They're out of New York City, and they kind of do the fun flash mob and sketch comedy thing, and they do little missions. They plan them, and they go out, and they do these. Well, they did one on a merry-go-round, or on a, what is that called? It's the horses that go up and down and goes around.
Carousel?
Carousel, thank you. They did that. Why couldn't I think of that? So they did one on a carousel. That was hilarious. They took over the whole area, and they actually did it like it was a real race with announcers and jockeys and the whole thing on the carousel. It was funny, and of course, the reactions of the people around and the other kids on the carousel who didn't know what was going on is precious. It's definitely the video of the day. So, Jennifer, go ahead and post that on our Facebook page as well. One other announcement here quick is that Jennifer will be taking over Horse Tip Daily for me starting today. She's been training on how to do all that side of things, and we actually think that Jennifer will be better at it than me. I've done almost 500 tips now on Horse Tip Daily, and I kind of think that people are getting sick of hearing me. So Jennifer's going to take over. Jennifer's more the trainer and the coach and, you know, been around. She's more the horseman than I am. So I think that she's actually going to do a better job with the guests and the experts, asking more intelligent questions. And she'll be doing that starting today over at horsetipdaily.com. Jennifer will be hosting that from now on, so you can take a look for that as well. And we actually called that episode where we announced it yesterday, Delegation. Now, the one caution there, Jamie, as you know, is you can't delegate to your wife unless she first volunteers. So when your wife first volunteers, then you can delegate. Otherwise, it just doesn't work that way. So that's what happens.
You're smart. You're a smart man.
That's what happened. So, boy, that's a lot of little announcements here today. I think that's it. I don't know, did I miss any?
The question of the day with what's the most unusual thing you've been attacked by? Amy Aiken posts, most of the time, it's a mystery to me what my horse and I are under attack by, but my horse seems to know. Ain't that the truth?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That is true when you think about it. This show today is sponsored by Amazon. If you're looking at buying anything from Amazon, anything at all, it doesn't matter if it's horse stuff or not horse stuff, just anything from Amazon. Stop by horsesinthemorning.com first. You're going to see an Amazon banner at the left side of the page. Just click on that banner. Go buy what you would normally buy. It's easy to click on it. It's free to click on it. It doesn't cost you any more, but we get a little bit of a credit back from Amazon every time somebody goes through our website and buy something from Amazon. It's a way to help support Horses in the Morning and to make sure that Jamie gets paid on a regular basis. You know,
yeah.
We would miss her if she wasn't here whining about the heat every day and reading books full of carnage. So you would miss that if she wasn't here. It would just be me rambling on, and we all don't want that. So stop by our website. Next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, tell your family. Just click on the little Amazon banner before on the left side of the page before you buy anything, and we'll get a little bit of a credit for that, and we really appreciate you helping us out that way. All right.
Glenn,
before
we get to our guest, can I just remind you of when I got this job, the ridiculous demo that I sent you where my life was pathetic, a dating mess. And so basically what my job in Atlanta radio was I was the single pathetic one. It is because of stories like that last one, my friend. That is why I had that job in Atlanta. That is the epitome of my dating life before. So, yes, I am super happy now. I live on a farm. Life is great. It might be a little hot, but whatever. I have this perfect husband. I swear I earned it. I mean, I earned it. So,
you did spend 10 years letting it all out there on Atlanta radio.
Yeah, it's a shocker I had to move away to get a date. Guy Phoenix, he doesn't know who I am.
I got a question. What guy's going to be stupid enough to date you there when he knows that everything about the date's going to be talked about on the show the next morning?
Glenn, did you see how hot I was at 23? Okay. 10
you
years
were pretty
ago,
hot.
I was so hot.
You're still pretty hot, but 23. You were okay. I get it. It's worth.
Okay,
in other words, it's worth the embarrassment risk. It was just
Yeah, they didn't get, well, see, they thought they'd be the one to change. They'd be like, oh my God, it was the perfect date finally. No, you're still an idiot, okay?
now we talk about you dating horses, so it's similar kind of thing, actually. Well, let's get to our first guest today. A couple weeks ago on the show, we had a story about a race that we didn't even know really happened. We don't know much about this. And the funny thing is, you and I follow racing pretty good, but we tend to follow thoroughbred racing, and now thanks to some of our listeners, we're following harness racing a little bit. But one of the things we didn't know anything about was Arabian racing, and they had an Arabian race over at Churchill Downs not too long ago, and we thought, well, it was time to find out about Arabian racing. And let me get our guest on here. Her name is Deb Mahaloff. I hope I said that right. Did I say that right, Deb?
Yes, you did. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's going to be fun. We don't know much about it, so we're going to have to, like, do Arabian Racing 101. But let's start with who you are and where you're from.
Well, my name is Deborah Mahaloff, and I'm with Cree Run Arabians in Richmond, Virginia. And, in fact, we're right down the road from the famed farm of where Secretariat was born. So that besides breeding great thoroughbreds in the state of Virginia, we do breed great Arabians as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So, and did you start breeding them specifically for racing, or was that something that came later?
Originally, I was in the show world, and quite frankly, my husband was very bored with watching horses go around in a circle. So
he needed
some action. So we started going into Arabian racing, and we have been using it as a culling process ever since. And we've been doing it now for a little over 30 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, so why is it that, you know, we're horse people, I've been doing shows like this for a long time, I guess I kind of knew there was such a thing as Arabian racing, but it seems to be the hidden racing thing in the country.
It is. Unfortunately, there are only about 350 Arabians racing in the United States. At its height, it was about 1,000 horses in the 90s. But quite frankly, with the economy and the change in the tax laws, all of the horse industries were hit, and the Arabian racing industry was one of them. It did grow very substantially in the Middle East, though, in this time frame, and throughout Europe, and it is really a very noted sport in the country of Turkey. They breed more Arabians there than they do thoroughbreds. They race for approximately 50 million euros a year just for Arabians.
Wow.
It is the second largest betting handle in the world, only second to Hong Kong, is my understanding. So, you know, Arabian racing is very well known around the world. They have tried to bring in sponsors, though, that will heighten the level of interest for people, and they're doing it through different sources, such as the President's Cup race, which was the race that was held at Churchill 2 weeks ago. And then this weekend, there will be another sponsored race out of the UAE that is going to be run here at Delaware Park. And it's going to be a pretty exciting race this weekend. But it is something that we do in the states of Texas, at Retama, Sam Houston, Lone
Is
Star.
It, do you have your own tracks, or are you racing at thoroughbred tracks and you just have your own card, or how's that work?
We race predominantly at Delaware Park. That's where we've been racing for 25 years. We have one race a day at Delaware Park through the months of May through November. Then we race on the fair circuit in California. We race the three tracks in Texas. We have had meets at Los Alamitos and at Tampa and in the state of Michigan in years past, but primarily the main focus is at Delaware Park, other than these graded stakes races that have been at either Keeneland or at Churchill this, you know, this past year.
Right, right. And I think that probably was one of the things that got you the most publicity of anything you've done.
Yes, it did. It did.
Just because people seem to follow Churchill. So now tell us, when we did the story a couple of weeks ago, and I think there was some controversy about this after. One of the listeners said something about it. How, as far as speed is concerned, first of all, do they run the same length as thoroughbreds? And as far as speed is concerned, how do they match up speed-wise?
We are slower than thoroughbreds. We race our horses. We start them at 3 years of age, and they usually race up until and including up to 10 years of age. We can run our horses as often as every 2 weeks. They are a stronger horse. They have a lot of bone as well as substance, depending on what lines you're breeding for. But we run for about $2.5 million at these various tracks. But when you think that there's only 350 Arabians running for $2.5 million in purses, and that's only the tip of the iceberg in the United States, we've put most of our monies into our overnight races as opposed to our stakes programs, looking towards the European and the Middle Eastern markets as the areas to go for the large stakes races, such as the Qatar Arabian World Cup that's held on the the Prix de l'Arc des Triomphes race card. That day for the $4 million turf race that they have there for thoroughbreds. And the Arabians have a race that is called the Qatar Arabian World Cup, and that's for $650,000. So that's a nice, race to put your sights on, as well as we have the Dubai Kahala Classic. That race is for $250,000, and that is the first race of the card for the Dubai World Cup Day in Dubai in March. These types of races are the ones that hopefully if you have a good sound horse that's racing well in this country, it will get purchased by international sources and will continue to compete internationally over, in either France or Qatar or, the UAE or Turkey for that matter.
Huh. So the first question I have for you, is your husband still bored or is he okay now?
Oh, no, he loves the action. and we also, it's funny because a lot of Arabian horse goers also dabble in thoroughbreds. We have about six thoroughbreds ourselves. And that is usually the case of what happens because we find that financially when you're only offered one race a day, you need to be able to support it with possibly some other income and it only makes sense that it should be thoroughbreds. And since we do race primarily on their card, we go and we race according to all rules and regulations for thoroughbreds in the states that we are licensed. And the Arabian Jockey Club is a member of the RMTC, which is the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium. So we adhere to all those rules and regulations, just like the thoroughbred people do.
Okay, that leads to another question, because Arabians tend to be a little bit smaller than thoroughbreds. How could you get the jockeys any smaller?
Well, our little horses do very well. In fact, we had a horse named Flaming Tronku that years ago ran with carrying 136 pounds and did it very handily. These horses are known for endurance. We use these horses in other disciplines after
racing.
Well,
I was going to say, your note. Arabians obviously are known for being the champions of endurance races, the 100-mile,
yes,
the 50-mile races.
Yes.
We don't think about them going fast, in a sprint at this point. We don't think about that too much. You think about them, they're just good to go, for long periods of time in the kind of heat that Jamie lives in out there in Phoenix. But but you don't think about them going fast for short periods of time. That's not something that we normally associate with Arabians.
Well, I'm not as involved in the endurance world as others, but I do sell my horses to the endurance world. And during the WEG Games last year, one of the horses that I bred was constantly riding with Sheikh Mohammed on his horse, and the person who was on our horse, they kept, you know, kind of keeping the same pace, and Sheikh Mohammed would keep looking over and asking her, you know, "I can't believe that horse is so small and he's doing so well." They ended up finishing that 100-mile race in just over 7 hours. And my little guy, for I think he was probably only 14.3, if that, he held his own and ended up being fourth and then was eliminated. But the thing is, people don't realize how sturdy these little horses are. They've been bred for four millennia, and they are what they are because of what they've had to endure. And so it's not unreasonable for these horses to carry a larger weight with most jockeys.
So when something like this happens, where there is a race for the Arab breed at Churchill Downs, that must feel pretty amazing to, it's kind of like validation for your sport to be included in something like that, or is it more of a common thing that we just don't know about?
No, this was history in the making. I mean, it even gets me for glum just talking about it.
Aww.
And thinking back on it, because it was such a momentous occasion for our breed, and it would be for any breed. When you think that the great horses that walked over and traveled over that hallowed ground, and then for us to be allowed to run on it, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that has happened. And I can't thank Churchill enough for allowing us the opportunity. And I hope that the spectators enjoyed themselves. It sure sounded like they did. They were yelling and screaming just as they would any other race. But to hear them mention that it was the first time that our horses were walking over this hallowed ground, for me, it was very emotional. And as it still is.
You're getting me emotional right now.
Well, and I hope that people understand that this was such a huge step for our breed, and we don't want to take anything away from the thoroughbreds or their racing. We just wanted to help highlight where the thoroughbred breed came from, and this is our foundation.
You just wanted to play. I want to play.
Yeah.
I want to bring my horses.
I want to play in the big sandbox.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Our Arabians don't cost as much to train or to feed or maintain. They're very intelligent, and they have wonderful dispositions besides being beautiful. And when you go into a winner's circle, whether it's for a $50,000 purse or whether it's for a $1 million purse, I can tell you, you're just as happy because you're in that winner's circle and you know what that horse has had to do to accomplish that. And that is just, it still amazes me what these horses
mm-hmm.
give to us.
Yeah, so did you have a horse in the race at Churchill, or did you
yes.
just go because it was momentous?
No, we had a horse that we own and bred, and then we had a horse that we bred that we had leased to another person. So in all reality, we had two horses from our breeding program. The one over the top finished third. And we were very happy because he did not ship well, and he had a little colic episode take place, and so he wasn't quite on his game. But and then as for the other horse, Crown Royal, for Barbara Coor, the horse had virtually come out of the pasture 2 weeks before nomination. So we were very happy with what he thought. He was on vacation. He just thought they were all there for him. And he enjoyed himself immensely. But this Saturday there will be another race of the quality of horses that were there at Churchill. In fact, they'll even have more horses of higher quality in this race. And it should be, it's an 11-horse field. It'll be the last race of the day on the card for Delaware Park on Saturday. It's going to be a very interesting race. It's a part of the Sheikh Mansour Global Festival of Flat Racing Stakes Series that's taking place around the country. In fact, they are sponsoring races in France, the Netherlands, Germany, Poland, and Abu Dhabi. It's much like the same sponsorship that the EEF had sponsored with the Churchill race and out of the country or out of the UAE. So it'll be very exciting, and you'll see those some of those same horses running on Saturday, and it should be very, very exciting, quite frankly. So,
I was just thinking, when we go to the races and when most horse women go to races, they're not going to bet. They're going there to look at the pretty horses. So this just steps up a notch, the pretty horse thing.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yes,
you know,
it does.
When they do the walk there and everything, and you go back to the saddling area and the whole thing, like all horse girls do, they go back to look at the horses. It just kicks it up a notch as far as pretty horses are concerned.
It does, but you know, there's something that we all need to address, and that is the challenges of the industry, because even Arabians are facing certain challenges, just like the thoroughbred industry is. And I hope that if we've got a couple minutes, we could touch on a couple of those things that I think would be very interesting for some of your guests to hear, because I don't think that they've traveled and watched these races internationally, and there's something to be learned from all of that. There's nothing more beautiful than to watch these races on these great big screens that are high definition now. But just imagine what Qatar did with the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe and the Qatar Arabian World Cup. They brought in, they hired one of the people from National Geographic. They had four of those huge, beautiful screens in the infield. They had two of those screens around the saddling paddock. They had 50 cameramen that had been hired. And throughout the day and through various angles, they would go ahead and film this. And then in between each of the races, they would go ahead and splice this all together from different angles, and they'd re-show the race again, just like our sports channels do for our football games and our race cars, all of that sort of thing. Just imagine watching these horses and being able to see the perspiration beads on their foreheads, watching the horses blink as they're coming down from a cam rail camera, and then slow-mowing this down to where you could actually see these horses blink and these jockeys, the expressions on their faces. And every time they would do this in between the races, you would have people that were screaming and cheering, even though they knew how that race ended. They were able to experience it in a whole nother fashion. And it's things like this that we need to do in order to get people involved in racing, whether it be universities or whatever.
I've been saying all along that the reason that we don't go to races more is, and this is partly me and my ADD, the 20 minutes in between each race drives me insane, because there's just nothing to look at, nothing to do. I always often wondered, why don't they have entertainment during that time, you know? A band in the infield, something, you know, that's one of the things that has always, they don't make it friendly to the casual person who's going to go and drop, you know, $50. They're really still trying to cater to that diminishing group of gamblers who just aren't gambling at the tracks anymore. They're going to the casinos. So
I
think they do have to rethink who their audience is.
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, one of the things that was brought forward at the Asian conference, horse racing conference the year before last, was that one of the Japanese people had made this comment that Japan, more than 50% of Japan's racing involvement from fans is through technology on mobile phones and or computers. You know, we have to interest the youth globally. We have to make it fun for them. We have to utilize YouTube, Google, social platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, computer games. These are all things that we need to start doing so we develop this younger group of interested people. If you do not show them the horses, they will not learn to love them. I feel that if you cannot develop this interest in the sport, people don't want to watch a sport that they think is cruel. A lot of people feel that way with a whip. It would really be nice if we didn't have to utilize those whips as much as some of our jockeys do. They should really be penalized when they do use them. In throughout Europe, you cannot hit a horse excessively. A horse has to take so many strides, I believe it's three strides, between any hit of the whip. There are certain things like this that could be developed here in this country that I think would give the spectator a good experience, instead of somebody coming down the stretch and they're still getting flogged and people are wondering, well, why is he beating that horse? I think things like this are topics that really need to be looked at in this country, and hopefully some resolution could come from them. There's ways that we can learn from watching, you know, our racing brothers, you know, internationally.
Well, you know, the problem with that is that all the pieces of the racing community have to come together to get that done.
Yeah.
And that's been the huge problem. It will continue to be a huge problem. And it's just like, you know how they say somebody that's an addict has to crash? Mm-hmm. I think we're at the point where the racing industry is almost at that crash point, and they're probably going to have to crash before they will all come together and figure out that they got to do something to make it better.
No, I think, Glenn, all they need to do is the head of the NTRA just needs to go ahead and do what she said, either ban whips or go ahead and do the three stride count, because I think it's an easy fix right there, you know. And all it takes
is an easy fix to that one little problem. That's an easy fix to that one little problem. It's not a fix to the whole big picture that we're talking about today. You know, it's not a fix to the whole big problem, the whole big picture that Deborah's talking about, which is all the little pieces have to come together for there to be more interest. And we need a heck of a lot more zenyattas. We need horses
that
the teenagers can grab onto, that the young adults can go, that's cool. You know, that we need a lot more of that.
I totally agree with that. When you run a horse only for a year or 2 years, you don't build up the anticipation that your audience wants to be able to see this horse. They're syndicating these horses or not utilizing them in racing anymore, and we really do need the Zenyattas of the world, the Seabiscuits, the Secretariats, that people can hang their hat on and follow and want to go to the racetrack and want to wager on, even knowing that they're not even going to cash the ticket in that they have purchased for a Zenyatta, because it's Zenyatta's winning picture. I mean, ticket, whatever. So, you know, things like that. But could you imagine watching a horse racing in 3D? Just imagine that. I know the experience that I feel when I'm at the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe with this beautiful coverage that they have. Can you just imagine if you were able to watch it at home in a 3D type of a concept? I just think it would be, I think people would want to participate and would be envisioning themselves riding those horses, you know, if something like that was obtainable. And it's surely in our grasp. The other one of the other things that I think is very interesting is I feel that, and I work with Markel, I put together their equine insurance program. And so from a safety standpoint, I really am against our the gate crews at some of these tracks. I think that using just the starting gates with no gate handlers in the stall with the horse for the race, I think is a safer way, and it keeps the horses calmer. I didn't feel that at first, but after watching and then seeing the statistical data, it is safer.
I think, Deborah, we're going to have to leave that for another day because we're plain running out of time. Where can people find out more about your farm and about Arabian Racing?
Well, I think what they should do is go on the Arabian Jockey Club website, and they can go to www.arabianracing.org, and that will get them into various other websites. They'll be able to go into the International Federation of Arabian Horse Racing, which is an international federation for racing. They'll be able to go into the various club websites as well, and they can also look and view the Churchill race that was just run 2 weeks ago on that website.
That's terrific. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Deborah, that you brought up a lot of good points, and it's just fun to get to know a little bit about something we don't know anything about. So Jennifer will follow along, and we'll have you back on again sometime.
Great. Well, thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We didn't know it. Yeah.
I know. You learn a little bit every day, but it was cool to hear her talk about the hallowed ground of Churchill and what an honor it was to run there, because you would hate to think that they didn't appreciate it, but clearly they did. So I think it's awesome, and good for her. Now, I've got some more horse racing news for you.
Yes.
Here.
Sure.
Okay, so Animal Kingdom, who won the Kentucky Derby this year, he did pretty good. I think he was second in the Preakness, right? And then in the Belmont Stakes, he got bumped by Mucho Macho Man, who got bumped by another horse. So he was injured after that race, and he actually finished sixth in it, but he had a small little hairline fracture where they found a bigger fracture up above where they initially thought the injury was for Animal Kingdom. And so, hey, stop. No dog fighting. Sorry. Four dogs in my kitchen. That's going to happen. So basically, he's out for the entire year. But you guys, it made me think of it because you guys were talking that they really want to have more career in these racehorses so people can follow them. And that is exactly what they plan to do with Animal Kingdom. They're going to take care of him. They're going to put him in the pool. They're going to swim him. And after that, they plan to start competing again. They want to have him racing until he's 5 or 6 years old. They have, and they've had so many offers to sell him, and they're like, nope, we're going to keep him. We want to run him. So this could potentially be a horse after he's all better that we could all follow and latch on to. And by the way, I am way for more Zenyattas. I'm all about the more Zenyattas. That was great.
I figured you would be. Well, let's after that in-depth conversation, let's take a little break here and listen to a new song that we have not played here before by Templeton Thompson called If I Didn't Need the Money. It's kind of cute, actually. And then we'll be back with Jamie's reading of Black Beauty and some more news right after this song.
Down the highway to a dead end job that I can't quit, cause I got to make the payment on this car I'm driving. Down the highway I'm backed into a corner like a rat trapped in a maze. Not the first clue how I got here, I just know I gotta get away. Someday I'm on a miss that exit. There's a life out there somewhere, and I'm gonna go and get it. If I with goodbye with just one finger, farewell to it all. I didn't need
Templeton Thompson, of course, If I Didn't Need the Money. I do like that song. That's great. So thank you so much for listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And Glenn, it's that time.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 19, Only Ignorance. I do not know how long I was ill. Mr. Bond, the horse doctor, came every day. One day he bled me. John held a pail for the blood. I felt very faint after it. I thought I should die, and I believe they all thought so too. Ginger and Merrylegs had been moved into the other stable so that I might be quiet, for the fever made me very quick of hearing. Any little noise seemed quite loud, and I could tell everyone's footstep going to and from the house. I knew all that was going on. One night John had to give me a draught. Thomas Green came in to help him. After I'd taken it and John had made me as comfortable as he could, he said he should stay half an hour to see how the medicine settled. Thomas said he would stay with him, so they went and sat down on a bench that had been brought into Merrylegs' stall and put down the lantern at their feet that I may not be disturbed by the light. For a while, both men sat silent, and then Tom Green said in a low voice, "I wish, John, you'd say a bit of a kind word to Joe. The boy is quite broken-hearted. He can't even eat his meals, and he can't smile. He says he knows it was all his fault, though he is sure he did the best he knew, and he says if Beauty dies, no one will ever speak to him again. It goes to my heart to hear him. I think you might just give him a word, you know. He's not a bad boy." After a short pause, John said slowly, "You must not be too hard upon me, Tom. I know he meant no harm. I never said he did, and I know he's not a bad boy. But you see, I am sore myself. That horse is the pride of my heart, to say nothing of his being such a favorite with the master and mistress, and to think that his life might be flung away in this manner is more than I can bear. But if you think I am hard on the boy, that is, I mean, I'll give him a good word tomorrow, if Beauty is better." "Well, John, thank you. I knew you did not wish to be too hard, and I'm glad to see it was only ignorance." John's voice almost startled me as he answered, "Only ignorance, only ignorance. How can you talk about only ignorance? Don't you know that this is the worst thing in the world next to wickedness? And which does the most mischief? Heaven only knows. If people say, 'Oh, I did not know, I did not mean any harm,' then they think it's all right. I suppose Martha Mulwash did not mean to kill that baby when she dosed it with Dalby and soothing syrups, but she did kill it and was tried for manslaughter. And serve her right, too," said Tom. "A woman should know not to undertake to nurse a tender little child without knowing what's good and bad for it." Bill Starkey, continued John, did not mean to frighten his brother into fits when he dressed up like a ghost and ran after him in the midnight in the moonlight, but he did, and that bright, handsome little fellow that might have been any pride of any mother's heart is just no better than an idiot and never will be if he lives to be 80 years old. You were a good deal cut up yourself, Tom, 2 weeks ago when those young ladies left your hothouse door open with a frosty east wind blowing right in. You said it killed a good many of your plants. A good many, said Tom. There was not one of the tender cuttings that was not nipped off. I shall have to strike all over again, and the worst of it is that I don't know where to get fresh ones. I was nearly mad when I came in and saw what was done. And yet, said John, I'm sure the young ladies did not mean it. It was only ignorance. I heard no more of this conversation, for the medicine did well and sent me to sleep. And in the morning, I felt much better. But I often thought of John's words when I came to know more of the world. And you're going to miss a chapter, by the way, because I won't be here tomorrow. So Monday, Tuesday, oh my God, 4 days without Black Beauty. I don't know if you're going to handle it, Glenn. But on Tuesday, chapter 20, Joe Green.
See, you caught me off guard because you didn't say like you usually do, this ends chapter such and such.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you basically you weren't listening? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, that's
you only
my
tune
cue
in when I
that
say
I'm
that
supposed
end.
To, that's my cue that I'm supposed to do something.
So basically when I finished the chapter and I said, and of course I'm not going to be here, blah, 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 that you still were tuned out thinking I was reading.
I was going, okay, is she going somewhere with this or is she going to say that ends the reading? I was just, you know, it's like being in church when the priest at the end says, and that ends Mass, and you go, oh, okay, time to go. See?
Oh, sort see, that's when you wake up in church, isn't it? That's when you go, oh, you wipe the drool from the side of your mouth because you have been open mouth snoring in church. Yeah, I know how you are. I can tell. It's fine, whatever.
Can I give you an attack update from Facebook? All right,
yes.
So the latest, we've had a lot of comments on what have you been attacked by that we talked about earlier in the show, four horses dying in England by being attacked by a swarm of bees. And a swarm of bees attacking Jamie and then causing her to break up with her boyfriend because he couldn't stand it and went out and cheated on her. So,
oh, my God, you hush.
Is that what happened? You were all swelled up and he decided to go out and cheat on you? That's what you sort of said in the story. Maybe I got
you again, I would like for you to put down your laptop when I'm talking and actually listen sometime. Thank you very much. Jennifer, I don't know how you do it, my friend. I don't know how. Bless your heart.
So Colleen says on Facebook, says a pop can. You have no idea how terrifying a half-crushed pop can lying insidiously on the ground can be. To a horse, that is. And our friends over at Dirt Road Daughters Magazine, I wonder how they're doing. They're going to come out with their first one here pretty soon. I know they're getting a lot of people signing up. Said, my boyfriend was attacked by an owl. It swooped down and grabbed his leg. Luckily, he was on a pretty solid horse who was mostly just annoyed by the situation. Can you imagine most of the horses that you've owned, Jennifer, if an owl swooped down and attacked you?
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Here's one, a turkey vulture hissed at them and decided to come at them. You know, I really don't even want to be within feet of a turkey vulture. They are just the ugliest critters that you've ever seen.
They
just don't even want to be that close.
Gross.
I love Katie Living Good who said, does growing grass count? She said there were trick planes that used to practice over her fields and looked like they were going to spiral down and crash into us, but the horses never noticed. You know, one of the things we had happen at our house, and you probably have it at yours too, is we were right at the turning point of the fighter planes that used to come out of a base outside of Harrisburg. So they used to come over pretty low, pretty slow and low, over to about our farm. I think our farm was a waypoint for them. And then at that point, they used to turn straight up, kick in the afterburners, and shake the house, the farm, and the ground, going straight up, you know, with the afterburners going. It was the loudest thing and used to scare the crap out of us. But the thing that scared the horses more than those planes doing that was hot air balloons. Have you ever had that experience?
You know, there's a lot of hot air balloons out here, but I've never been close to one. I mean, that's why I would never ride in a hot air balloon. And actually, Chad says he never would either. Mr. Big Tough Fighter Pilot is like, I'm not going anywhere near a hot air balloon because they have
really?
No. Well, they have no control. You can
true.
Control your up and down, but you cannot control your direction at all. And I think with him having such total control, that to have no control is a little bit scary for him.
Yeah, well, I can appreciate that.
Mr. A-type control
not
freak.
Being able to turn.
Yeah, exactly. There was one that landed not too long ago, and we had these giant saguaro cactuses, which are like the super tall ones with arms, and one of them landed in the desert, like amidst all of the saguaro cactuses. And I mean, what are you going to do? You just go out and cream one when you land on it. And it hurts.
We used to have hot air balloons coming over our farm all the time when we lived outside of Carlisle, and we had them land in neighboring fields and things. But that would spook the horses more than the airplanes would, for sure, because they hear the, you know, sound, and I think that sounded like fire, which is pretty much what it was. So a couple others, bees, wild turkey, snapping turtles, and of course I told you about the snapping turtle story from the show we were running the one day up in Massachusetts, right? I told you that story.
Wasn't it in the water jump or something?
No, it was in the arena where we were doing a jumping show, and it was the beginning of the day. We got set up for the jumping show the night before. We come out to get everything all set up and, you know, ready to go for the first riders showing up, and the arena had about, I would say, 20 huge snapping turtles laying eggs all over the arena. Problem with that was you cannot encourage a female snapping turtle that's laying eggs to move. They don't really want to move until they're done laying their eggs. And there's no real encouragement you can give them because, by the way, they'd bite your arm off. We actually tried putting a towel over one and picking it up. By the way, don't try that at home. Not a good idea. So we had to wait for the snapping turtles to lay their eggs. And then slowly, the way snapping turtles do, make their way across the arena and out the other side. We actually started the show with a couple snapping turtles still nesting near the jumps because we just couldn't wait it.
Oh, my God.
They were huge.
Oh,
so that's
Lord.
My snapping turtle story. Anyway, so I have a story here I wanted to do that relates to the honeybees. Honeybees can be good for horses. A study out of New Zealand found that there's a certain kind of honey that they're finding to be effective to heal leg wounds on horses. And it's believed to have antibacterial properties, and it's produced by trees or by bees attracted to the manuka bush, which widely grows in New Zealand. And they're finding that. The study found that horse wounds treated with the manuka mix took 47 days to heal compared to the expected average of 64 days with no treatment. So, so that's kind of interesting that they might be helping us, honeybee.
When you put like Corona on your horse or Iximal or even Furosin, you know, you want to have a rubber glove on. Can you imagine scooping out a pile of honey and slathering that down your horse's leg? And you want to talk about flies? Okay,
yeah,
hopefully
but
you can like wrap
that's
it.
That's true.
Or something.
I forgot about the flies. Yeah, but you know what? You know how when you get that icky stuff on your hands and then you accidentally, for some reason, you taste it off your hands and it's like gross? This would be fine. You could lick your fingers.
Not after sticking it on a wound. Nasty. Well, hey, Glenn, speaking of horses being hurt, have you ever, you know, Jennifer, I'm sure too, you've walked out to the barn and you've seen your horse laying down, sweating, grunting, maybe pawing, kicking at their belly, rolling. Have you ever seen any of that, Glenn?
Oh, yeah, a few thousand times.
Okay, so imagine that you had no idea what was going on with the horse. Well, my friend, they now have an app for that. Believe it or not, they have an app to tell you when and why and where your horse is colicking. And I found it online, so Jennifer, if you can post the link to the app, that'd be awesome. It's Northeast Equine, which is netexasequine.com. And they basically tell you it's really actually informative and kind of educational. You go to their homepage here on your app, and there's three questions. Is my horse colicking? And if you think they're colicking, you can click on that. What is colic? I downloaded this, obviously. So if you're not quite sure what colic is, you can click on that. And then the ever-loving question, what should I do? So imagine you go to the barn, your horse is rolling around, you're like, I wonder if it's colicking. First of all, what is colic? You can do your research while your horse is standing there pawing. Is my horse colicking? You can find out, and then what should I do? So you click that little button, and it says, first, if your horse is thrashing around violently, do not approach. Call your vet. I mean, but actually, after the whole warning signs, and, you know, it's kind of basics, but they tell you how to check your horse's heart rate, how to keep track of your horse's respiratory rate, check the mucous membranes, the hydration, listen to their belly, check your horse's manure for sand, which is a big problem out here, and to take the temperature. And then it gives you all the parameters that are good. So it's actually a really kind of informative app. So the best part about this app, Glenn, it's free.
Wow, cool. That is a cool app.
Yeah.
There's a which one's barking?
That's Boomer. Sorry. They're fighting over a bone. I'm throwing the things right now.
That would be his dog, not your dog. Because Zenyatta doesn't bark.
My dog, she's perfect. She's laying on the couch right now. We have a little dog couch. Of course, why wouldn't you have dog furniture? So they're laying on their dog couch right now, and she's gently chewing a rawhide. Where Boomer is standing, he has his own rawhide, but he wants her rawhide. So he's standing in her face barking. And I'm doing things while we're doing this show. I'm throwing tissues on the ground, trying to entertain him. Nothing. I'm getting nothing. He wants the bone. So sorry about that.
Funny. You know, you're not going to hear barking from ours, so we can't contribute to the noise level. But you might hear a little whining, like if she has to go out in the middle of the show. You know how sometimes in the middle of the show, we have to do two songs in the middle of the show, one for us to go to the bathroom and once for me to bring my dog out. So think about that. Hey, a couple more. That is a cool app. Where can they find it? Just search for what in the app store on iPhone?
You know what? I searched for horse colic. And it was the first one. Shockingly, it was one of the only ones that came up. and it is available on your iPhone right now, but they are actually going to be releasing it on the, I don't know what the other, was it the Droid? Available now on iTunes and coming soon to the Android and BlackBerry markets.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool.
About
and it's
time
free,
we get some darn respect.
To the Droid, you're a Droid person. Hey, by the way, they're coming out with the iPhone 5 in December. iPhone 5.
I know, you're gonna have to get a new one, aren't you?
I don't even have the 4. Glenn, I told you, I went to buy a case. I know, I went to buy a case for my iPhone 3 at the iTunes store in the mall, and they were like, we don't carry those anymore. I'm like, I've had this phone for a year. I'm so sorry. I'm so behind. They looked at me like I was an idiot.
I have another update here on attacking things while riding. Geese, as we rode by their nest. And here's one. I was a teenager. This is Susan says this. When I was a teenager and riding across school property on the backside of the football field, I got chased by the school groundskeeper in his truck yelling at me to get off the field. That's a unique one. And then Susan also says a turkey vulture flew out of an old house we were passing. I got dumped, then stepped on by my mount. She stepped on my arm at the elbow, then my ribs. Ooh. Pam Hall has a funny one. A snowplow. I was riding down the road, and he didn't want to move over, so threw a bunch of snow on us, and we ended up stuck in a ditch. Not our best moment. You could see that happening, too, couldn't you? The snowplow driver going, screw you, I'm not moving. Get buried. You can just see that happening, too. That's probably a highlight of his day. He went back. You know, you got to know that they go back and when they're done a long day plowing, they've been working overtime, all this stuff, and they have a little tally sheet of how many cars they've buried, how many people they've buried, how many dogs they've buried, and how many horses they've knocked into ditches. You know that they have that.
That is so true. It is absolutely true. Oh, poor little thing, though. Now, the horses, did you do the story about the gypsy vanners and the tennis court?
No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, my God. Because we have to post that picture. But I just emailed you guys a picture of Boomer and what he's doing right now. So if you want to post that on Facebook, we have a dog bed in here, and he's just decided that right now is the time to destroy it. So I just emailed that. So if you want to send that out, I'll put it on Facebook. But you got to tell everybody about the gypsy vanners that were playing tennis.
Yeah, well, we'll wrap up today with this story because I know you have to get out of here to go see your honey flying north. So, you know, I started playing tennis again. Did I tell you that?
No.
I was a big tennis player. I used to play a lot and hadn't for years since I got sick about 8 years ago. I never took it up. I was never well enough to do it. So now one of the boarders at the barn out there, a lovely girl named Christina, she and I have been playing tennis together every week and trying to play a couple times a week. We're about the same level, so that was good. But then I saw this story about gypsy vanners taking over the tennis court. Apparently some gypsy vanners got loose, and they decided that they would wander into the tennis court, and it sort of became a makeshift pen because then they didn't figure out how to get back out. You have to wonder about that sometimes. But so they ended up in this tennis court, a bunch of gypsy vanners hanging out in there. So it was kind of easy for them to find. Apparently they are known for escaping, this particular group. I don't even know where they're from. I didn't see that in the story, actually.
Is it California or is it England? I thought it was England.
Was it England?
I could
be wrong. I was trying to give England the benefit of the doubt this
time. No, this is England, my friend.
Why is it that I can't find these stories in any other country but England? Just saying. Just saying.
It's so great.
So anyway, they were already in their own corral, and they were just standing around. They have pictures of them. It's kind of funny just seeing them stand there hanging out in the tennis court. Right? Wait for somebody to bring a racket over. Which reminds me, this is going to be a good weekend for me, too, because it's Wimbledon finals this weekend. Yay! And I have a high-def TV where I can actually see the ball now. So that's a good thing.
We got to wrap this show up. These dogs are making me crazy.
Well, we'll see you again, Jamie. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, with some special guests we're so excited about. And then we'll see you again, talk to you again next Tuesday. You have a good trip to Washington.
Well, I thank you very much. And for our listeners out there, it would be a great weekend to spay, neuter, or geld. How about that?
All right, we'll be back again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. here at Horses in the Morning. Have a great day, everybody. Get a ride in. And spay, neuter, or geld.